The title is Continue to Do Good. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world around us. There are various viruses, a war in Ukraine. There are threats of war in other places, and there is an increase in the fight against Christianity, against our faith. We must stay close to God and serve Him. So why should we continue to do good? God expects us to do good. We are saved by grace through faith in Jesus. It is our faith that should produce good works. In Ephesians 2nd chapter, verses 8 through 10, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them." We should walk in good works. Wires. We should walk in good works that God has prepared for us. When we do good, it sets a good example before men, and it glorifies God. It meets needs. And there is a reward for doing good. What do I mean by doing good? Doing good is any service unto God by the authority of Jesus, whether it be preaching, whether it be teaching His word, it's helping and strengthening others, or overcoming evil with good. Again, doing good is any service unto God by the authority of Jesus. Hopefully this lesson will encourage us not to be weary in doing good and encourage us to continue to be faithful to the Lord and continue to grow in God. Let's read 2 Thessalonians 3:6 through 16. "Now we commend you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from every brother who leads an unruly life, and not according to the tradition which you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But we labored in hardship. We kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Not because we do not have the right to this, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. For even when we were with you, we used to give you this order: if anyone is not willing to work, then he is not to eat either. For we hear that some among you are leading an undisciplined life, doing no work at all, but acting like busybodies. Now such persons we command that and exhort in the Lord Jesus Christ to work in quiet fashion and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. If anyone does not obey our instruction in this letter, take special note of that person and do not associate with him, so that he will be put to shame. Yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all." Like all congregations, the church at Thessalonica had some things come up. Some were not working at all and were acting like busybodies. One of the reasons Paul wrote this second epistle was to correct this. His instruction to the church was to withdraw from those who were being disorderly if they did not make correction. This is never an easy or pleasant process. Moreover, these faithful brethren may have been discouraged by those who were not working and being busybodies. In verse 13, Paul encourages them not to be weary in doing good. For us, there are times when we may be discouraged as well. Here is just a few reasons for which we may become discouraged. We may be discouraged by the circumstances of our life. It may be due to sickness or the decline of our health as we age. We may see a situation that needs to change and we cannot change it. Maybe our job isn't working out like we think it should. Perhaps our family relationships are a struggle. We may see some brother not being faithful to the word of God. Our brothers and sisters may not be helping with the work of the Lord. We may study with someone for a while, and then they decide no longer they're interested in God. We may even be that you have done something good just to be ridiculed by someone in or out of the body of Christ. Or maybe we have exposed sin in someone's life, and someone in or out of the body of Christ chastises us for it. Maybe we have done something good, and then something bad happens. We can listen to the news and be discouraged by all the bad things that are happening around us. We may be tempted to give up and quit doing what we know to be right. To stop serving the Lord is not the answer, though. We can lose our souls. If we do get discouraged, first and foremost, we need to pray about it. Consider God's word. Sometimes it helps to talk to our brothers and sisters about things. Sometimes we need to consider things from a different perspective, and talking about it can help. We can obtain great comfort and strength from one another, but it is very difficult to get strength and comfort from one another when we're not in contact with one another or around one another. Others may not even realize that we are discouraged if we do not let it be known. We need to remember Paul's words of encouragement. Be not weary in doing well. Paul wrote in Galatians 6, chapter 7 through 10, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap from the flesh corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially those who are the household of faith. We'll be judged by our works, and not the works of others." In Matthew, the 16th chapter, 24 through 27. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds.' Again, we should not grow weary in doing good, because doing good sets a good example and it glorifies God. Doing good meets needs, and there is a reward in doing good." Let's see some examples of how it glorifies God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 chapter 13 through 17, "Submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as to one in authority, or to governors as sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and the praise of those who do right. For such is the will of God that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bond slaves of God. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, 15 through 16, through him, then, let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is, the fruitful lips that he get. Let me back up. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of the lips that gives thanks to his name. And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. In Romans chapter 12, 1 through 21, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your body as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, as I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the portions of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor, not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, as far as it depends upon you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We all have different functions and abilities. We should be engaged in those functions and be using our abilities for the Lord, and we must overcome evil with good. And setting in a good example, we bring glory to God. Let your light shine before men, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Consider Ephesians 2nd chapter and verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And we are not our own, for we have been bought with the blood of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6 chapter, verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Let us not be weary in doing good. For doing good, we set a good example, and we glorify God. Doing good meets needs. When we are not weary in doing good, and we do things, we set a good example and meet the needs of others. But whatever we do, we should not do it to be noticed by men. In Matthew 6, chapter verses 1 through 4, Jesus gives us warning. Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. So when you give to the poor, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving will be in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Consider what, as Rob had mentioned earlier this morning, consider what Tabitha did in Acts 9 chapter and verse 36. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. But this woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. She was a woman full of good works, and she remains a great example for us today. Consider also the example of the woman who anointed Jesus' feet at the house of Simon the leper in Mark 14th chapter, verses 8 and 9. Jesus said, she has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, that this woman has done will be spoken of in memory of her. Sometimes we do not know what to do, or it may not seem like much. But Jesus said, this woman did what she could. Her example lives for us today. The Apostle Paul tells us our deeds will be quite evident. In 1 Timothy 5th chapter, verses 24 and 25. The sins of men are quite evident, going before them to judgment. For others, their sins will follow after. Likewise, also, deeds that are done are quite evident, and those which are otherwise cannot be concealed. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul states, our people must also learn to engage in good deeds, to meet pressing needs, so that they will not be unfruitful. This is some of the needs that are being met at this congregation. We pray for the ones that need prayers and encouragement. We try to encourage our visitors. In the hallway, we have duty sheets for the people to clean the building, prepare the Lord's Supper. There are people involved in Bible studies at the building and away from our assemblies. People are being visited, taking to doctor's appointments, and helped in various other ways. Cards are being sent. The building is being prepared for the worship service. The word is preached. The Lord's Supper is prepared and served. Attendance is kept. The baptistry is kept ready for use. Bills are paid, and et cetera. And there's other things being done. Therefore, there is plenty of work to do, and more work should be done. Are we doing our part? Let us not be weary in doing good, because when we do good, it can satisfy a great need. Now let us talk about the reward. There is a great reward in doing good. When we do good things, they're in themselves rewarding. We feel better. We should feel like we accomplished something, because we have. But we have not accomplished something on our own, but it is being done through the Lord. In Philippians 2nd chapter, verses 12 and 13. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Jesus said in Matthew, the 10th chapter, in verses 22 through 33, 32 through 33, therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. If we confess Jesus before men, he will confess him, or he will confess us before our Father. Consider the parable of the wise and the foolish man, Matthew chapter 7, 24 through 27. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rains fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. We will be established, and we will be able to withstand the trials of life. And in Colossians 3, verses 23 through 24, whatever you do, do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. God is a rewarder of those who seek him. In Hebrews the 11th chapter and verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. There is even a reward for giving a cup of water to a brother or sister in Christ. In Mark, the 9th chapter, verses 41. For whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because of your name as followers of Christ, truly I say to you, he will not lose his reward. In Romans 2, verses 5 through 11. But because of your talks about the righteous, this is talking about the righteous judgment of God. And verse 9 starts with the unrighteous. But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath. and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Who will render to each person according to his deeds? To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for the glory of honor and immortality, eternal life. But to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and indignation, there will be tribulation and distress for every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who does good, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with God. In Matthew, the 25th chapter, verses 31 through 64 demonstrates the seriousness of meeting the needs of others. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even to the least of them, you did it to me." Then he'll say to the ones on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. And in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 9, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. We ought not to be weary in doing good because it sets a great example and glorifies God when we do good. There is a great need for us to do good, and there is a great reward in doing good. Some last words of encouragement. Jesus said in Matthew 5th chapter, verses 5 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Jesus opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way, they have persecuted the prophets who were before you. We will be rewarded for our deeds, whether good or bad. If we have done evil, we need to repent of that evil and do good. If we have done good, we need to continue doing good, knowing the positive results of our deeds. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verse 58, Jesus had this in his pamphlet. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 15, Paul encourages Timothy, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and verses 9 and 10, now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught of God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brother, to excel still more. The Apostle Paul encourages the Thessalonians to excel still more, and we should strive to do more also. There is a reward for what we do. However, there is only a reward of heaven for those who have put on Christ and are in Christ. If you have not put on Christ, we encourage you to do so. It is for your salvation from eternal fire and separation from God. In order to put on Christ, we must believe that Christ is the Son of God. In Hebrews 11th chapter and verse 6 states, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. We must confess him before men. Romans 10:9 states that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. We must repent of our sins and we must be baptized. And Acts 2:38 states, Peter said to them, repent and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we must continue in Christ. Or, if you have put on Christ and have fallen away, I want the prayers of the saints here. Please come forward as we stand and sing.